A philosopher has a specific way of thinking. A philosopher sees the beauty of the universe. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the absolute philosopher. A philosopher sees the beauty of the universe. A philosopher is one who has a specific way of thinking. Do you have a specific way of thinking? Do I have a specific way of thinking? Oh, yes. Every being on the face of the earth is a philosopher, because every being on the face of the earth thinks. And a philosopher is one who thinks. Plato asks in the Republic, truly, who is a philosopher? The knowledge of a philosopher is from those who see the many beautiful aspects of the universe, and who yet neither see absolute beauty more than anyone else. What does an absolute beauty look like? What does a philosopher who seeks after absolute beauty, what does he seek to find? Well, actually there's no such person. There's no such philosopher. Beauty is not an absolute form. Beauty is a relative form. Beauty is in the mind of the beholder, is in the mind of the believer, the mind of the seer. It has nothing to do with absolute. Absolute might say beauty is an is, beauty is that which exists, but that again begs the question. All answers that you could give to what is beauty, what is absolute beauty, has no answer to it, because the very word beauty is a word that makes us think and makes us come to a conclusion as to what we believe it might be, and that conclusion could be just as valid as anyone else's, and in fact, more so. If I look at something and I see the beauty in it, I see its magnificence, to me it is like a beautiful sunset. I behold the beautiful sunset. I see it with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my being. And as I look at it, I think to myself, what a great combination of colors. Do I think that? No. You see, if I were an artist used to painting such things, I would say, well, now, how am I going to mix the yellows and the golds together and bring out the reds and get a little touch of green in there to bring out certain blendings of colors? And how am I going to do? You see, the moment we become analytic, we cease being absolute. The absolute is the presentation of that which is. It's not the presentation of how we interpret what it is. The very reason that the life of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, the Bible itself, is oftentimes found to be inadequate is because the Bible does not come across as a valid instrument by itself. Throughout the years, mankind has been writing and rewriting and interpreting and reinterpreting, and the church has looked at the Bible and has said, whoops, they made a mistake here. Whoops, they made a mistake there. Here, generations later, people are saying people made a mistake back somewhere else when they're no longer associated with that particular philosophy that it was brought forward with. We look at the Lamza Bible, for instance, and we look at his students, and we see how they interpret what the teachings of Jesus were in the light of the Arabic philosophy was at that time, and how the people lived at that time, and how the Hebrews and the Jews, all the same, how they lived in a time far beyond what we can be aware of. And what sort of attitude did they have? Well, now, one thing that they did that is universal, one thing they did that is untouchable, unimpeachable, and that is they looked at things and called them beautiful. They looked at humanity and called it beautiful. They looked at their concept of God and called it beautiful. They looked at the world and said it was beautiful. You see, whenever people think, and they think only of the good, the beautiful, the fantastic. They are thinking as a philosopher thinks. They are thinking as a being thinks who has no axe to grind, who has no purpose in speaking except just to reveal what he is experiencing or she is experiencing. What is it that you and I experience when we look at a beautiful sunset? What kind of things do we experience when we look at the teachings of Jesus and we see that he is saying things, as the Indians would say, with a forked tongue? One minute he's speaking a positive attitude, saying that God is a God of love, and the next minute he's being reported as saying that God will rain down his fire upon others, and that there will be judgment day, and there will be retribution to be paid, and there will be karma, and all these things. And it's an inconsistent way of thinking. Now, how can intelligent people think that way? Well, they don't. They don't. We look at the pageantry of the Bible, we look at the pageantry of the church, we look at the pageantry of the synagogue and of all the other places of worship, and we think of ourselves as being just a part of some big picture that we don't fully understand. And we will go there for an hour a week or two, and as we do, we will sing the songs, enter into the spirit of it, and we'll realize that there is a power that in this universe that's greater than we are, and we can use it, and that's God. And so we think those thoughts. But you see, the philosopher, and everyone's a philosopher really, the philosopher is not limited by that sort of a point of view. The philosopher looks at everything and sees it as a pure is, something which has no relative quality to it. It cannot be compared. It cannot be judged. It cannot be looked at in any way which is going to tell me how I have to understand it. It cannot touch me. I cannot possess it. I cannot judge it in any way. I am just open to it. And as I am open to this, I am open to it not because what it says. I am open to it because of the beauty that is there, the beauty of the pageantry that is shown, the beauty of the words. As we listen to a lot of sitcoms and a lot of movies and a lot of poetry, and we call them tearjerkers. Now, why do we call them tearjerkers? They're tearjerkers for everybody, but everybody is hearing it with different ears. Everyone is looking at the movies and reading the books and hearing the experiences from a different point of view that each has of themselves, from their own individual life. And yet, it's a tearjerker because it has those elements in it that are untouchable, unassailable. It has those elements in it that make it something that is beauty, make it something that is everlasting, make it something that is powerful and good. Now, you say, well, that's a little inconsistent. That's inconsistent. One minute saying that we look at things and we see the good in them, even while there isn't good in them. That is, even while there is things in there that are limiting. And then other times we look at things and we say they're limiting and we don't want anything to do with them. Well, no, that is inconsistent. But that's the way we are. That's the way we are. And the day that we can settle down to accept a beautiful sunset just for itself, the day we can settle down and fall in love with another person, not with possession, not with desire and lust after them, but just because our two hearts feel harmonious with one another. It's like falling in love with a puppy dog. The puppy doesn't know he needs you to feed him. The puppy doesn't know he needs you to train him. The puppy doesn't know he needs you to make him acceptable to society. He doesn't know that. He just knows that he loves you, and he enjoys playing with you. He enjoys being with you. He bounces around. He doesn't know that you have a specific schedule that you're going to give him only 3/4 of a cup of food at each meal. And if he knew that, he'd think to himself, my goodness, or would he? He has no judgment. He knows you love him. He knows that you are giving him the very best. He has no judgment. He doesn't possess you. He knows that you're his and he's yours, but there's no possession. It's just that he feels good when he's around you and you feel good when you're around him. You see, when we start looking for beauty in life in all the areas that it can be found, we find that we are thinkers. And as thinkers, we are looking at things not with judgment, but with relevance. And we look at it and we say, that is a beautiful sunset of a beautiful sunset. That is really glorious. Or just look at the way the waves come undulating in from the ocean. Now, let's watch them. Are they a 7-count or a 9-count series of waves? And are there 3 in each series of waves that come in? And do they keep growing or ascending? Or do they start out big and then peter out to lesser and lesser? No. They start out small, and then they get larger, and then they get larger. And then they start out small again. But maybe they start out middle size and get very large, and then very little. Well, however you want to observe it, you are free to do that. Scientifically, we might be told that the logistics of waves moving is a must experience. It must happen in a certain way. But then again, who says? Who says? If there are 3 waves, one big, one middle-sized, one small, and if these are of 9 waves, where you have one very big and one middle-sized, one small, with the middle-sized and small ones added to each of the waves, how does that figure? Well, this is our thinking again. Do we look at the waves and calculate them? Do we look at the waves and consider what it all means, how the movement of the ocean is happening? And we could, but a philosopher looks at the waves and thinks they represent the breathing of the Mother Earth. The waves are the pulsation of the heart and the blood and the mind of the planet itself, and it is reflecting outwardly its beauty and its magnificence. Well, now, that's the one way of thinking about it without judgment. There are thousands of other ways to think about it without judgment, too. And the more we learn to think about it without judgment, the more we realize that we are a philosopher. And as a philosopher, we cannot be held to task for whatever our philosophy is. We merely be a philosopher, live as a philosopher, and delight as a philosopher. And when we do that, then we find that everyone in the world delights in it also. I had this statement, I used it when I spoke this noon, and I spoke, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. Statement from Dr. Seuss, the children's book writer. Be yourself and have fun, because those who would put you down, it doesn't make any difference. You're going to be yourself anyhow. And those who understand you, it doesn't matter there either, because they understand you. Now, what other statement is this Dr. Seuss statement making here? It is saying, in effect, I am number one. I do everything to please myself. I live in my world as a thinking philosopher to please myself. If there is anything in my philosophy that gives me anxiety, I immediately turn to its otherness. I turn exactly to its opposite, if you will, and I begin to experience peace and harmony, right action, truth, joy, and goodness in everything I do. This is where we live. This is where an absolute philosopher lives. An absolute philosopher lives in the concept of the goodness, the purity, and the excellence of himself. True, there are a lot of people who can't handle that. A lot of people who would tune off that concept right away. But every winner thinks that way. Every happy person thinks that way. Every successful person thinks that way. Every person who is a teacher or who is a scientist or anything, they think that way. They know that within them, the genius is flowing to bring forth the answer to whatever they pursue. And it is done. It is done because every man, every woman, every child, every animal, every creature upon the face of the earth, and every non-creature, all are philosophers. All are thinking their thoughts, living their life. Not always that we understand, but it is so. So today, claim for yourself, because I think, I am a philosopher, and I philosophize upon everything over which I think. Have a lovely evening and do beautiful things. I know that the Absolute Philosopher goes to bed with you as you dream wonderful dreams and start out for a beautiful day tomorrow. I love you, I love you, I love you.